Hello and welcome to the Methodist Podcast, published on the 17th of March 2022.
Being a Christian means celebrating God, who made each person in God's own image.
Being disciples of Jesus, who treat each person with dignity, rejoicing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to all people.
This week we hear how the Methodist Church is creating a church where everyone can belong and everyone is celebrated.
The Reverend Charity Nzegu is one of the co-chairs of the Justice, Dignity and Solidarity Committee, who have been tasked with creating profound change in the culture, practices and attitudes of the Methodist Church on issues of equality, diversity and inclusion. I asked Charity how this important work was centred in the theology of the Church.
As Methodists, Scripture is very important to us. So a lot of what we do is really rooted in Scripture. But we just don't end with Scripture. We also look at the tradition of the church. We look at human experience, and we use our own reasoning to understand what God is calling us to be and to do. So I'm really interested in the idea that including the God in Love Unites Us strategy, one of our really important strategies at the moment, all of them coming together from various parts of the connection, of the work of the connection. Only the Spirit can connect them in the way that they have been connected, and all focused on justice. And I think that the Spirit is currently at work, and we can see following from the appointment of the very first Black woman president in the Methodist Church since its inception, and a lot of other developments during that time. Only God can do that. Only the Spirit can empower the church to see things in the way that the church is now seeing things, and accepting where we have made mistakes and learning from those mistakes and trying to remedy them, not in our own power, but in the power of the Spirit as we continue to confer with one another and to develop this work. And our interconnectedness as a connectional church really helps us drive some of this work.
Now, there's lots of material coming out around this topic at the moment, lots of resources available. What's the role that you want us in our churches to play, and in our everyday lives as well?
I think what we're really recommending that we as members do is that we engage with the work that is ongoing. And as we do so, we commit ourselves to learning and also unlearning. Because sometimes we think it's just about learning new things, but it may be that there are things that we have learned already that are unhelpful, and we need to unlearn that. And as we do that, we then care for each other. So the caring and the learning together, and as individuals or corporately, is what we're really inviting the connection to do. Look, it's a massive strategy. Just looking at the amount of work that's coming out of that strategy, it's a lot of work that sometimes we cannot do on our own, but we need to do it with and alongside others. And we've got to learn a lot. And to do that, we are also inviting churches that our worship is one that is joyful, that is uplifting. You know, when, you know, our worship can be or can honor all human dignity. And in doing that, we can continue to be formed as we are committed to learning and to unlearning new things. But those things are really important: to learn, to unlearn, and to care for each other. And it doesn't end just with the church, because the church draws its membership from the society. So it's also learning from the society, in which we are called to exercise our Christian faith, and to recognize the existence of other partners we work with and how we do this work together and how we share in the practices. And you will know, Michael, that, you know, transformation or change can be very painful, can be frustrating because it can be very slow. And there's a lot of things within the strategy that we would like to have seen done yesterday, but we have to wait. Maybe a little longer than that. And that can be frustrating. But if we commit to live with that frustration as we continue to work through the work together in the understanding that ultimately we will get there. We want transformation that is sustainable, but that is also meaningful. And that one... that our members, all members within the church, can accept or at least understand its basis. Otherwise, if these things are imposed on people, or if people see these things as a set of rules that they've got to live by, then they're just going to reject it. And that's not what we want. This is the gospel, Michael. This is what should transform us as a people of God. This is what we are called to be and to do.
How do we make sure we take everybody with us? Because some people may be further down the road on issues of equality, diversity, inclusion than others. How do we make sure we don't leave anybody behind?
There are those who don't believe the church is capable of hurting anybody because it is the church and it doesn't do that. So we see that people are beginning from different places. And therefore, you know, what comes back into my mind is that whole thing about a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a mile. So we take people from, we meet them from where they are, which is what Jesus will do, meeting people from where they are and journeying along with them, listening to their stories. And I don't just mean listening, but intentional listening to find out what the issues are, what their experiences are, where the resources within the church might be or should be like in order to support these people who are at various points. If we take this as a sprint that you've got to complete in 5 or 10 seconds, then we are going to set the people of God to fail. This cannot be a sprint. And my metaphor is that this is a marathon. So we've got to ensure that we bring along with us as many people as we can, trying to ensure that the language that we use is a language that people understand. The work that we are talking about is work that people can relate to or enable people to relate to the issues that the church is having to grapple with. And I know that is a statement that a lot of people may not want, but in reality, any sustainable transformation has to take along as many people as possible, and the people have to own that transformational, the content, the process, and what they're being called to be. Unless that happens, this is just going to be another piece of work that misses an opportunity.
In 2021, the Methodist Conference decided it is vital to learn from one another so that we can recognise God's presence more fully in our life together. There are many different characteristics, as they're known, that the Church is working not just to protect, but to raise up and celebrate. Rachel Lowe is a young disabled woman from the Manchester and Stockport district.
We are in the Church, but disabled people aren't just the old grannies who sit at the back of church. So for me, it was really important that we start conversations going, and then through that other young disabled people have got involved, and it's really growing, which is really exciting.
So why does the Methodist Church need something like this?
The rest of society is currently thinking about becoming more aware of EDI, and that's equality, diversity and inclusion. And I personally see JDS, which is Justice, Dignity and Solidarity, as kind of the Methodist Church's version of EDI, if that makes sense. So if society is doing it and thinking about inclusion and social justice, then why isn't the Methodist Church doing it? And I think that certainly disabled people in the church, I don't feel we have enough of a voice and a representation. And, you know, certainly when I moved away to university and I was looking for a new church, I experienced some really inclusive, accessible churches. And I also had some really worryingly not inclusive churches. And so I've had a real range of experiences. And at the end of the day, we are as inclusive as our least inclusive member. When people think about access, they usually think, oh, you know, we've got a ramp to our porch. But it's a lot more than that. Yes, it's important to be wheelchair accessible, but also our attitudes and the structure of the Methodist Church needs to be accessible as well. So I talk about it. I can talk about my experiences as a disabled woman. And it's important to listen to the people who have lived experience. Because, like, for example, a non-wheelchair user would not notice a half-inch step. But that is a big barrier to me.
What does Justice, Dignity and Solidarity, what does that recommend in local churches?
I can only really answer kind of my opinion of it, that's okay. So for me, there's two aspects of it. The first one is creating safe spaces where people with the lived experience of the discrimination and barriers of the church can come together in solidarity and talk about, without the risk of feeling judged, this is my experience, this is your experience, and to be able to feel validated and heard, because also the church can use these as an idea of actually what is the experience of people in our churches. And I think it's really important to be having these conversations in a non-judgmental way. And the second thing, the second aspect, I think, is for churches to challenge themselves to do a bit of introspection and challenge themselves to how can we be more inclusive and accessible, and what would that look like in our setting?
How do we participate in this change? How do churches in particular who don't see that they have a problem or visibly see any disabilities, how do they engage in that? How do you deal with that?
Well, that's a really big question. and I think a lot of people feel really overwhelmed by it, or like, so in my year of being a youth rep, and I was having, I had lots of conversations with different people. And I was really surprised about the number of people when I talk about the need to have more conversations would go, oh, we're accessible, we've got, and then maybe name one disabled individual, possibly two or three they've got in their church, and then go, therefore we're accessible, or we're therefore we're inclusive. And that's quite surprising because, you know, yes, okay, maybe this person's been coming a long time and all of that, but it's not acknowledging or even thinking about how can we make it easier for that person to come to our church. Or, you know, even if you don't have any disabled people in your church, you know, if you're not inclusive and you're not accessible, what happens when somebody like me who's looking for a new church family rocks up and goes, oh, I can't get in your building, or rocks up and somebody says to me, what's wrong with you? And I've had those things happen to me. So, yeah, we've got to think about these things. I'm just looking at your face.
Sorry, I couldn't hide the shock then.
But, yeah, it happens. And I've, you know, I went to a church recently. I've been to a few times and it's been fine a few times. And then on one occasion, somebody comes up to me because where I've put where my wheelchair is blocking their health and safety fire exits. And it's you know, oh yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of listeners listening going, oh, you know, health and safety is important. And it is important. But if you think about it in a wider context, you know, health and safety has been weaponized against disabled people a lot of times. And, you know, I'd come into this church and people had said hello and I'd wandered over, found somewhere. And, you know, I'd already known about fire exit. I have to think about this all the time. And there was enough space for people to get around. Maybe it could have been better. But when you think about in the context of it, but it's the attitude that and the assumptions behind it as well. What could people do? So I think as individuals, we could all challenge ourselves and reflect on our own behaviour. There is always something we could do. And often just being open and talking to people, talking to minority groups, and thinking about reflecting on what assumptions are we making, because sometimes it'll be a lot more overt and sometimes it'll be the little things, but all these little, what they call microaggressions, they all build up and they build up and they build up into being a bigger picture. So what, like the smaller things can we do?
For me, some of those smaller things include when you have the church notices, having them on big print and not always on white paper and not using Times New Roman numeral, because that is the least dyslexic friendly font possible. And, you know, it's not just about wheelchair users, is it? And there's a whole host of disability which we need to be inclusive on. And we all need a bit of training, because it's only until we encounter somebody with that disability or with a disability that we suddenly think, oh, yeah, maybe we should think about not having lots of big pictures on the back of our PowerPoint because it's really difficult to see.
Yeah, and it's not, so there are a whole range of different impairments. So yeah. It's not about, oh, we're just going to focus on this impairment or that impairment. You know, there are lots of things that we can do. Like, for example, you know, maybe 9 a.m. in the mornings might be a difficult time for a lot of people. Or if we can make things where, you know, people can easily go up and have a toilet break, or even just a quiet room people can withdraw to, everyone's going to benefit to them. You know, when it was people put drop curbs in, that was a big campaign by disabled people, but actually whole society benefits, whether you're a pushchair or, you know, you're riding your bike on the pavement, you know, everyone's benefiting from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you got any final messages for our listeners?
I just really want to encourage them that not to be overwhelmed with this JDS, justice, dignity and solidarity. You know, it's to see the humanity in people, to see the people, and, you know, people aren't the problem. The peoples themselves aren't the problem. To be open, to say to somebody, how can I help you? Don't make assumptions. Just openly ask people, and always ask, never assume.
Delith Liddell is an Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Wales Methodist Synod and a member of Dignity and Worth, a group of Methodists committed to the full dignity and worth of every person, whatever their sexuality or gender identity.
Dignity and Worth have been working towards justice, dignity and solidarity for the LGBT community in the Methodist Church since we began quite a few years ago now. And so it's great for us to see this document coming out as not only the work of campaign groups like ourselves, but actually proving that it's the work of the whole church to combat the inequality, to combat the injustice, to combat the discrimination that we find at the heart of our church in many cases, sadly.
So I think the big question is this report, this, and I'm going to use the word strategy, is it just another strategy, another piece of paper that gets pushed around? So what makes this one different?
I think it's captured people's attention. It's captured people's imagination. There's lots within the strategy, lots of strands of different things that individuals can do, or churches can do, or circuits can do, or indeed districts and connection can do. And so I think it's captured people's interest. And I hope and pray that it's going to make a big difference to the church, because where you see injustice happening, where you see the lack of diversity in our leadership, for example, without doubt, that's something that needs to change.
One of the challenges with Dignity and Worth is there are obviously a group of Methodists within the connection that live with contradictory values. And so what would you say to that group of people in relationship to Dignity and Worth and Justice, Dignity and Solidarity?
Dignity and Worth, we've always been really, really careful to ensure that those who don't hold the same theology to those of us who are members and leaders of Dignity and Worth feel that feel a sense of grace from us for the fact that their theology is so different. Now, clearly, we don't agree. That's what contradictory convictions are all about. But we hold to the desire and hope that as a church we can still work together, grow together, and love together. I think the issue becomes where those theologies that don't believe in that it's okay for two gay people to be married, or don't believe that it's okay for somebody to change their gender, where that's fine to have that as a personal theology, where that impacts on somebody else, where that's being told to somebody else, where that's being said, to somebody, what you're doing is wrong because you're gay, or what you're doing wrong because you're transgender, then that's where the problem comes in, because that's where we're hitting discrimination. And we've got definitions of homophobia already that the JDS committee have published, and others will be coming, no doubt, as a way of showing those people who have said things who are hurtful or discriminatory, or have done actions that are discriminatory, can actually be brought to task over them, because that's not okay to discriminate against somebody because of their sexuality or their gender. The Justice, Dignity and Solidarity work of the Methodist Church is so important. It's important for those who have been oppressed for so long, and for those who have just simply accepted this is the way it's always going to be. It's not the way it's always going to be. There is chance for change here. Really take a look at seeing what you can do. There's all kinds of things you can get involved with, from making a personal commitment to engage with it, to contacting your local church and offering to be your local JDS or EDI representative, and make sure that this information is getting out to the church, so that we really can combat the discrimination that from our perspective LGBTQI people are facing within the church, but also it reaches far deeper than that, for racial justice, for disability injustice, and for gender justice too. So please engage with the report. Engage with the work of the Justice, Dignity and Solidarity Committee.
Dawood Irfan is the Methodist Youth President and is of Pakistani heritage. Last month, Dawood successfully walked 160 miles from his home church in Cardiff to Wesley's Chapel in London to raise awareness of the need for more diverse leadership in the Methodist Church. I caught up with Dawood at Romney Methodist Church in Cardiff just before he set off.
Yes, so myself being a Methodist youth president from Pakistani heritage, I was born in Pakistan, that's where I spent the early years of my life. My father, who is doing the walk with me, the Synod Enabler, we are both diverse leaders in the Methodist Church, and we feel that the Methodist Church is a very welcoming place for people of any background, and a characteristic of us, or a personal trait about us, is that we are ethnically diverse, and we feel that we've been welcomed into the church as well as so many other people throughout the country, that we just want to raise awareness of the fact that we're here, we've been accepted into the church, we have a position in the church, we're welcomed in the church, go into ministry, whether they want to become a lay person in the church, whether they want to work in youth ministry, whether they want to run a youth group, they can do anything because the Methodist Church is a place that allows any ethnic diversity to flourish within the church.
Tell me why it's good to have diverse leadership in a church.
Diverse leadership, I think, is good for the entire church, not just for those people from diverse backgrounds, but for all communities within the church, because when we live in this country, we see that this country is one of the most diverse places in the world, one of the most ethnically diverse places in the world. And we want to see that representation in the church as well.
If you would like to commit to an inclusive Methodist church, then you can find a prayer of commitment on the Methodist Church website. The prayer is shared for us here by the Reverend Jill Marsh, our Inclusive Church Officer.
God of all goodness, grace and love, transform us by your Holy Spirit. As the Methodist Church, may we value the uniqueness of all people, each made in your image. And may I commit again today to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. Help me as I try to live in a justice-seeking way. Help me to treat other people with dignity in my encounters, conversations, and relationships. Help me to stand in solidarity with Methodists different from myself, including those on the edges or the margins, so that we may work together well. Help me to learn as I listen. May the Methodist Church show your kindness of heart in our life together. May we take courage as we are transformed into a community of justice. May we reflect the Spirit of Christ in our love for all your people. Give us goodness, grace, and love, we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to find out more about being an inclusive Methodist church, along with guidance and advice, you can find it linked from the front page of the Methodist Church website.
Thank you for listening to this week's Methodist podcast. From myself, Jenny Pathmaraja.
And myself, Mike Ivatt.
Goodbye.